Our reading this morning comes from John Muir. This is called Only a Part. The world, we are told, was made especially for humans, a presumption not supported by all the facts. Why should humanity value itself as more than a small part of the one great unit of creation? And what creature is not essential to the completeness of that unit, the cosmos? The universe would be incomplete without humans, but it would also be incomplete without the smallest transmicroscopic creature that dwells beyond our conceitful eyes and knowledge. From the dust of the earth, the Creator has made us. From the same material, God has made every other creature. However noxious and insignificant to us, they are earthborn companions and our fellow mortals.
All life is held in the cosmos. One breath breathing in and breathing out. We, and all the wriggly creatures, and the wingeds, and the crawly things, we breathe as one. Wow! All is divine. All is divine. And this morning, when some of you were coming in, I asked you to hold Mama Earth. And Mama Earth is a little baggy, partially to do with us. Partially, I would think, because of age. I know that while I age, everything goes south. But we must remember Mama Earth in the cosmos of life. Also, I believe, I usually wear a watch, but the watch band is breaking, so I can't do that. But you know, we're the only species that wears a watch. What if we were to take off our watches? Where would we find ourselves? My belief system is that we would find ourselves, and whether we know it or not, I believe we are in eternity. You know, most traditions say, well, tomorrow, you know, it's going to be better tomorrow, and when you die, well, didn't I die yesterday, and didn't I die the day before, and didn't the power die? And isn't the power dead for some today? We're constantly transforming. We're becoming. And one day I threw myself into the Lake Superior and I found myself looking up at a little flower on the bank. And I said, this is what fish see. Woo! And then the other day, not one, but two, and I never saw one before, but here's two. Not hawks, what do you call those things? Eagles. You know, the ones that have golf ball heads? And that's how you know them. Flew over. What did they experience of divinity that I can't with my little head? And our head is what seems to work. And in that wonderful music, the whirring of the cosmos, we were becoming. And we were seeing and experiencing more. So what does that have to do with my fork? Well, this morning, we did have power this morning, and thank God for quilts. As soon as the power goes out, put a quilt over your freezer. Put your wool blankets over your freezer, over your refrigerator, and for at least 10 hours they work. Anyway, I went to the barn, and I greeted the llamas and the chickens and the ducks and the geese. And I asked them how their night went. And they were safe. And they were delighted that morning had come. And they ran outside and had a good time, and they chowed down their food and pecked away. That's a relationship. We must have a relationship with our food. Now, today I was going to bring you a harvest. And then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. What happened this morning to you? What part of creation greeted you this morning? What did you walk over? What did you bump into? We need to be aware. And then someone was going to start taking down the north, west, east, south signs. And I said, no, we need to know where we are. You know, when that quake, not the quake, yeah, the quake, took place in the east, the animals in the zoo climbed up the tree. Where were you? We were at the bottom. Because we don't usually pay attention to our environment. And food is about paying attention. Survival is about paying attention. Did you know that when cumulus clouds, not those puffy things, but the cumulus clouds that look like castles and things, when they start building, and for us it's in the west, and if it's in a certain part of the dining room, through those windows, if your cumulus clouds were right here, through this door here, and they were building in the sky, you've got 2 hours before it's going to rain. You've got 2 hours before it's going to rain. That gives you time for survival. We had kids at our place one day, and they thought I was crazy being a sister. But they were even crazy thinking I was even crazier that I was going to tell them that in 2 hours it was going to rain, and this is what you're going to do. 2 hours. They ran to the barn, they came back in, and they looked at me. She has power. It's knowing your environment. Watching. No dew on the ground. In the morning, it will rain. Wind all night, rain. Or some kind of something from the sky. Then, how many of you have gardens? How many of you have a plant in your house? How many of you have animals to take care of? Cats, birds, fish. All right, we're in good company here. How many of you have had babies? Men too? Okay. It's called preciousness. Our food is precious. And yes, when you go to a factory farm or when you see laborers picking, how many of you have gone to a place where you can pick your own berries or you can pick your own raspberries or what else can you get? Apples. And you know, however careful you are, I'm sure you've broken the vine. You've dropped a few. Now that's because you're careful. Can you imagine the people that aren't careful and they just go like this and then they just treat them and they bruise them? What if I did that to you? It would be terrible. It would be terrible. Then why isn't it terrible when we have something precious like a tomato or a raspberry or a crooked carrot? I believe the way we treat the land is the land and the vegetables that grow from it and the animals, the way we treat that part of life, which we've been told is blessed because we're supposed to lord it over creation. We got it all wrong. We are equals. We are equals. And therefore we need to respect each other because their survival and ours depends upon it. We're always recycling. 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 Have you noticed that the seasons keep coming around? What you and I see out here is what goes on in here. Goes on in here. And so I remember when we were digging our well because it got contaminated, and I don't know who contaminated it or what contaminated it, but I did notice that there was some kind of pattern. The farmer down the way got bigger and our well got dirtier. Do I blame him? No, because I don't know for sure. But the reality is, when we dug our well the next time, the last one was 70 feet, this one was 364 feet. And guess what? Well, it was part of it is to get onto an aquifer where you get enough pressure coming up. And then the guy said, now you have as much water as you want. You can use as much as you want. No, we can't. So we have these wonderful savers on our water in the house, and we sell those things. And it's just a great thing to use, but it saves 85% of the water. So what happens is you go from one place and you go to another place. So I go out to the barn, and I don't just let that water keep going. I'm careful. And we need to be careful because guess what? You live downstream from Denmark. You live downstream. And you need water. Maybe not today, but you need water. So we want to make sure that you have enough. We always have to be thinking of the other, when we're eating our food. We have to think about the prize of the carrot, the prize of the tomato, the chicken. When we harvest our chickens are the oldest chickens around. I mean, no farmer keeps a chicken as long as we do. We even have a mama duck who is 14 years old. And she's got a limp. And we thought she'd go a long time ago. But guess what? Love makes a difference. So you have to love and speak to your fruits and your vegetables. And you have to prize them. And so what do we do when we have pie? If, you know, I'm sure some of you who are pie makers, you know that if you put a pit in the pie and leave it there, it's going to taste good. Well, if you only have one pit in there, why don't you have all the pits in? So we make pity pies. And we tell people, we want you to eat a pity pie. And why do we do that? Because if you go to one of the stores and you buy a pie, it's okay pie. I mean, sometimes it's very good pie. But what happens? We just sort of eat it, and we're not mindful of what went into it. But a pity pie that you've actually picked yourself, and you've grown yourself, and you've made it, and you put it in the oven, and you can smell it. Can you smell it? What kind of pie do you have? What kind do you have? What kind do you have?
Apple.
What kind do you have? What kind do you have?
Ooh.
So, I mean, you know, we could go on. And the fact is we've got so many wonderful pies going in the oven. And now it's time to take them out. And you find the prettiest plate you can find. And you don't sit there. Well, you might. If you're my dad, you probably consume it standing up. But no. I had a grandma. And, I mean, I had two of them. And I actually had some step-grandmothers. But anyway, the grandmother that I had that I remember is Caroline. And Caroline, she lived by herself because her husband died at 50. And she lived to be 84. And what was so exciting about her was I'd come into her apartment and she'd be all by herself. And she would have set her little table. And she'd made mashed potatoes and chicken and a vegetable and a dessert. And she'd have a napkin. And she'd sit down and she'd eat it. Wow. And that's what we have to do with pity pies. We also need to be able to just sit down and relish that and taste it. Not gulp it down. Not like if we were going to McDonald's. But to prize it. And to thank those fruits for giving us such delight. It's about gratitude. It's about reverence. It's about life. Life can't be wasted. Oh, you know, somebody has a challenge and we say, well, we kind of put them on a shelf sometimes. They can't possibly do this. We make a decision for them. They can't possibly do it. I just had somebody yesterday for spiritual direction and she came with her wheelchair and she's just real tiny. My God! She's the greatest woman I've ever met. She fills a space. She's this tall. But she fills a space like this. Because she lives life. And she ran, she's only 23 years old, and she's used up her wheelchair, and she had to get a new one because she went everywhere. Nothing stopped her. And think of those vegetables, the same thing. They do the same thing as what we call the, you know, this lovely, beautiful beet. And sometimes you can grow beets this big, and you'd say, oh, my God, that must be very tough. No, it isn't. It's called the globe. Globe beet. And one year we grew globe beet, and we had 144 quarts of beets. And vinegared them, you know, pickled, thank you. Pickled them, and they were so gorgeous. And what's so gorgeous about it is during the summertime when it's too hot, you don't want to be pickling and you don't want to be canning and you don't want to be doing all that stuff. So you throw them in the freezer first. And then on some cold or cool October day, you decide that you're going to do it. Or you do it in the middle of January and then you can taste that sunshine. I grew up in England, so sunshine. Some of the people in England, you know, well, now they don't. They can grow olives and tea, and there's something else that's growing over there that wasn't growing when I was over there. But it's like, wow, the climate has changed. Did you know that? There is climate change. Did we cause it? I think so. Not everybody agrees. I don't know how much more we have to how many more catastrophes we have to have. Unless it has to be in our backyard. Well, guess what? We did have it in our backyard. The day before yesterday, we had a minor one. Are you waiting for the bigger one? I hope not. We must do something today. Mama Earth, you know, is waiting for us. You say, well, okay, oh, it must be you that's going to, you know, somebody else is going to do it. If you're the one being invited into relationship, you're it. It's not somebody else. I have to do it. And when you're invited, it's you. And the fact is, we're all invited. So life is one. Life is about wholeness. Food is about community. Yes, we eat alone. Sometimes. Sometimes we eat on the run. I'm going to talk to you on the run. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, which, by the way, I don't belong to the Roman Catholic Church. I belong to the Catholic Church, the one. There is only one church. It's all the different denominations, faith beliefs, and everything. All is one. But in the Roman Catholic Church, I say, peace be with you. Peace be with you. But I'm looking at you. What happened to the relationship with the two of us? But that's called on the run. What's so important that the next thing is more important than the right now? What's so awesome about this parish, this blessing space, this worship space, your community, is I was here years back, and you have grown. I don't know about numbers, but you have grown in your spirituality. You are contemplative people who have grown to experience life as one. Because the contemplative person finds God in everything, finds the divine in everything. Oh, are you thinking that I can find the divine in everything? No, I bump into the divine and I don't recognize the divine. But then there are other times, oh, there you are. It's for us to discover, to see. But where is the divine going to show up for you? The divine is going to show up where you're going to recognize the divine. For me, the divine is in the garden, is outside in creation. So that's how I will recognize the divine. For you, it might be at some movie. It might be at a store. It might be, you know, if you're in the hospital. It may be who knows where. But the reality is the divine is absolutely everywhere. So, my friends, what do we need to do to care for Earth? We need to be reverential of all. So, we gather the different vegetables from the garden, and you can't gather them all on the same day. So you're going to miss some. You're going to get some big zucchinis. And then you're going to get these funny looking things that grow. And you bring them in, and you can look at them, and you can praise them, and you can thank them. And then what do? You look in the refrigerator, and you say, what do you have? You look at your harvest basket, and you say, what do you have? And then be creative, because what you want to be then is the artist. You want to be the artist who sets these fine, beautiful, living things. You want to set them up to look beautiful. Because you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You have a gift. You're wondrous, you two young men here. You are wondrous. You have great potential. You're awesome. You can be anything you want to be, but you got to want it badly enough. Dream big. And when you have your dreams, share them with everybody else, because then you can get your dreams taken care of. Because we belong to a community. We belong to a community. And guess what? There's another young lady over here that has dreams and a mother who's wonderful. But the reality is we need to take our vegetables then and prize them. And sometimes all we have to do is slice them. You know what works really well? Tomatoes. Slice those tomatoes. Chunk those tomatoes. Chunk those big zucchinis. Cut them in half. Oh, by the way, when you do cucumbers, you cut the divine end first. The divine end first. Cut that off. Cut that off first, and you won't have bitter cucumbers. If you cut the other end, you end up sometimes having bitter cucumbers. But cut those, take the seeds out, put those on your compost so that you have more earth at the end, and then just chunk those and then put them with olive oil and pepper, or not, you don't have to have pepper, and with salt and a little balsamic vinegar. Mm-hmm. Or your favorite dressing, but don't put globs of it on. With tomatoes, cut, slice those babies, and then put olive oil and salt. It's gorgeous. Cucumbers, olive oil, and salt. You say, well, that's easy if you have the olive oil. It's easy, but it's so simple. Portugal, that's how they do it. It's wonderful. So just taste it. Make a pizza with rice and a little bit of cheese. And put it together, the rice and the cheese. But season it the way you like it. Put it in the oven, and then put your favorite toppings on top. Don't put tomato sauce all over it. Put all the vegetables and things on it. Put a little bit of cheese, because the cheese, you know how we belong to Wisconsin, we're supposed to be consuming cheese. I like cheese. I come from England. Cheese. But put the cheese on the top. It'll fool your taste buds. You're eating cheese, but not globs of cheese. So reverence that food. Put it on the best plate you've got. And then invite people over. The tendency is we invite our relatives over. We invite our favorite neighbors over. But you, as a community praying, worshiping together, do you ever invite anyone from here over? Do you ever invite somebody down the block over? Invite the stranger over. Stretch. Wow. We're always having strangers at our place. We're a retreat center. And we have people who are all denominations and faith beliefs. And it's so fun. We never know who's going to be around the table. Sometimes the table is 4, sometimes the table is 15, 17, 18, 20. And sometimes people invite us to bring food over. So Tuesday, 20 people are going to get our food. And they're not going to get our food. I'm going to think of them as I pick the food. I'm going to think of them as I prepare the food. I will think of them as I take the food. Because food is a celebration. So take care of the elements. And what are the elements? The elements are, this is a wonderful book, The Healing Wisdom of Africa. And in there, there's one little thing here. We're all called for a purpose, and our purpose is very important. So think about what the last digit is of your birth year. All right? If you are a 0 or a 5, wait a minute, I better do this differently. Here we go. Fire. Okay. 2 or a 7 is your last digit. You are fire. You're the element of fire. A person with vision and passion who is always active and involved in countless activities embodies fire. Water, you're either a 1 or a 6. A person with deep focus who tends to seek peaceful solution to conflicts, who always sees harmony instead of discord, embodies water. An earth is a 0 or a 5. A person who tends to care of others, accepting them as they are, embodies earth. And mineral or stone is a 4 or a 9. A person with great social skills who is always drawn to connect with others and who holds the stories of others embodies mineral. And finally, the person who is nature, a 3 or an 8. A person who can't stand phoniness, who finds it impossible to pretend, who can only be him or herself, embodies nature. Now, we are all the parts, but one of those is the one we are really called to be, according to the African way. But I was with 500 people one day, with Melodoma Somme, and we said, you hit the nail on the head. It seemed like it was speaking to us. And so, finally, I would like us to do two things. I want to just pray one little prayer that one of my friends wrote, which is a poem, and then we're all a very special note in all of creation, because field, it starts with a fork. And it ends with a fork. But this fork is too long. So I'll need to feed you. And we do need to feed one another. And so for a moment, think of a note, any note, and I'd like you to stand up for a moment. And I'm going to count to 3, and at 3, we will all sing our one note. Don't worry, you can't be out of tune. This is the cacophony of creation. You know, the tree doesn't mind if it sways. It doesn't matter if it cracks. Birds don't care if they're in union. This is the way it is. So, 1, 2, 3. Kind of nice, isn't it? We each have this note, and we are to play it boldly. And so, chives. There are so many of us that are not the main ingredient in the entree of life. Only just a tangy bit of oniony something that, when missing, leaves the egg dish not quite as edible, incredible, as it might be.